This is Pamela Banos speaking as part of the Hidden Truths Project, and you are listening to commentary related to the City Cemetery Historical Marker, located in Lincoln Park along the south end of the area known as the Mall. This entire area, originally referred to as the Chicago Cemetery, was actually a cluster of four graveyards: the City Cemetery, the Potter's Field, the Jewish Cemetery, and the Catholic Cemetery, located south of North Avenue, which at that time extended east only to Dearborn Street. Every Chicagoan who died through the summer of 1859 was buried here. According to published mortality records, that number amounts to a total of 20,416 interments within the four cemeteries. In the next 6 years, there were an additional 15,000 burials, making a total of 35,000 graves occupying the grounds that ran from just north of Wisconsin Street, extending south to Schiller Street, encompassing the Catholic Cemetery. You are standing in an older part of the Chicago City Cemetery. This land was likely filled with graves by the year 1851. The cemetery's southern edge was at today's North Avenue. North Avenue was named to indicate the northern edge of Chicago. The city cemetery was filled with graves from its south end and continued northerly through these grounds, now known as Lincoln Park. As each subdivided area became filled, a new section became divided, and that land became sold as individual burial lots. The first interments began in the early months of 1843. The last burial lots were sold in 1859. The final interments were made in 1866, after which the ordinance to prohibit further burials was in place. The city cemetery was a municipal graveyard run by city officials. Family burial lots were 9 by 24 feet and could accommodate up to 8 graves. Single graves were also available and were located in the Potter's Field. The money from the sales of cemetery lots, which originally were sold for $5, generated the cemetery fund, which was set up to pay for the upkeep and management of the city cemetery and Potter's Field. The money was also used to pay the grave diggers, known as sextons, and the officially titled city sexton, who was responsible for the burials, also conducted the sales of the grave lots. When a person wanted to buy a lot in the city cemetery, he or she met with the city sexton, who issued a certificate indicating the date, the lot number, and the price for that lot. After acquiring the certificate, individuals were required to go to the city treasurer's office to pay for the lot. They were then expected to take the certificate marked as a receipt to the city clerk, who would authorize the purchase of the lot. Some common council records indicate that the city sexton sometimes exhumed bodies from unpaid family lots to designated city-owned lots. Also, records indicate that sometimes an individual with a newly acquired cemetery lot would find a body already buried there. As a result of such occurrences, an early cemetery ordinance forbade individuals other than the city sexton from digging graves. It is easy to understand how things became confusing and bodies became lost. The cemetery map on the back of each historical marker shows how the cemetery alleyways ran parallel with what was then called Green Bay Road, today's Clark Street. Originally, Clark Street continued from the south as a narrow lane running through the city cemetery. The 9 by 24 foot lots appear to have been situated in such a way that graves were laid in an east-west fashion along the alleyways. In 1998, during the excavation for the construction of the parking facility west of this historical marker, an iron coffin was unexpectedly revealed. The coffin was lying east and west, with the feet toward Clark Street. David Keene, the archaeologist who headed that excavation, graciously provided me with a video recording of the removal of that iron coffin from the park grounds. You can see that video on the Hidden Truths website as part of the David Keene audio conversation page. Keene also tells the story of his difficult task in reinterring that coffin during our recorded conversation. The 1998 excavation removed the skeletal remains representing a total of 81 individuals. Those remains were sent to Springfield, Illinois, where they were cataloged and are now artifacts in the Illinois State Museum's Research and Collection Center. There are several reasons why the cluster of cemeteries were closed and then removed from this area. The first cited reason had to do with sanitary and health concerns. An early medical theory stated that vapors rising from graves, known as miasmas, were harmful to people. It was believed that graveyards should therefore be located well outside residential limits. The city's expansion and growing population had caught up with the location of the cemetery grounds. Dr. John H. Rauch further proposed that the location of the cemeteries on the lakeshore was deleterious to the health of Chicago citizens because of the high water table. Graves were sometimes known to become filled with water even before bodies were interred within them. Rauch's concern was that the bacteria from the dead bodies would be swept into Lake Michigan and enter into the city's water supply. The lakeshore at that time was at the western edge of the lagoon that runs on the eastern edge of Lincoln Park, or approximately at Astor Street, if it were to continue northward. In May of 1859, sales of city cemetery lots were halted. In July, Chicago's first rural cemetery, Rose Hill, opened its grounds for burials. Burials did not stop in previously owned family lots in the city cemetery, nor in the Potter's Field, for 7 more years, during which time 15,000 more graves were added to the grounds. In 1860, Graceland and the Catholic Cavalry Cemetery opened, giving new options for burials and also allowing city cemetery lot holders the opportunity to disinter their family members to the newer cemeteries. The Graceland Cemetery interment books recorded 565 reinterments during those 6 years before burials were halted in the city cemetery. Just as the sales of cemetery lots stopped as the first rural cemetery opened, the order prohibiting further burials coincided with another event affecting the city cemetery. This event was the Supreme Court case that led to the decision to exhume all the bodies in the 12-acre Milliman tract and to return that land to its rightful owners. The court ruled that the city officials had illegally acquired those 12 acres 16 years earlier. Hear more about the Milliman Tract in the Lincoln Park Historical Marker podcast. By 1866, approximately 57 acres of today's Lincoln Park were used as cemetery grounds. Through careless writing or otherwise incorrect recordings of the history of the cemetery, the Milliman Tract removals became the basis for assuming all the bodies were removed from these cemeteries on the lakeshore. Below Wisconsin Street, although there were ongoing individual disinterments, as families were encouraged to move their deceased loved ones to the outlying cemeteries, the city cemetery was fairly intact. In 1869, the Lincoln Park Commissioners assumed control and management of the cemetery grounds. The commissioners spent their early years concentrating on improving the landscape of the Northern Park grounds and planning the new Lakeshore Drive, essentially leaving the cemetery alone. In October 1871, when the Chicago Fire hit this area as the flames' northernmost destination, the cemetery grounds were ravaged. Headstones, often made of wood, were destroyed, and the damaged markers were removed. In my conversations with archaeologists, a primary reason given for the lost location of graves is the absence of grave markers. After the fire, the transition of the cemetery grounds to become part of Lincoln Park began in earnest. In 1872, the disinterments from the Potter's Field occurred. Those remains were reinterred in the county poor farm grounds in Dunning, northwest of the city, in today's Jefferson Park. In 1875, after the Lincoln Park commissioners condemned the grounds containing the unclaimed cemetery lots, they removed the approximately 150 remaining headstones, along with their graves, to a fenced location near today's South Field House by the baseball diamonds. 8 years later, the headstones were removed, leaving the graves in the park. In 1899, while digging a sewer in the vicinity of the Couch Tomb, the Chicago Tribune reported their first story of workers uncovering the skeletal evidence of the Chicago City Cemetery. In that March 29th article, it said, "Lincoln Park employees, while digging for a sewer opposite Eugenie Street and 1,200 feet east of Clark Street, on Monday afternoon, exhumed the remains of several coffins and a quantity of bones, including a skull, with the hair perfectly preserved, though the scalp was gone. They replaced everything as they found it. Assistant Superintendent McKay said hardly a year passes when human remains are exhumed in some of the improvement operations, but they are always laid back in the same place.